Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Oscar Rubio. He has an extensive background in banking, business, in finance, and real estate. He's been a lecturer at the European School of Economics in Madrid and has taught entrepreneurship in various university courses. Today, he is CEO and founder of Logerin, which provides scalable digital services to property owners, organizations, and tenants. Oscar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for having me and for this kind introduction.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. And I'm excited about today's talk. So let's start off, before diving into Logerin, let's take a step back and understand, what are the problems that people face? What are the pain points that people are having to deal with that you've identified?
Well, the first person who identified the problem, it was me when I moved Leeds to UK to study abroad. And I saw the nightmare, which is move a new country, finding housing, administration issues, and all that stuff. So basically, Logerin, even being a software company, we are trying to solve a real problem in the market, right? Which is when people is moving abroad, coming from other countries to US or going Europe or Latin American countries, they have to deal with all these issues, all this stress aside going to a new country, new culture, new language, new everything. It's finding house, it's administration, it's banking, it's insurances, it's the way of life. So basically Logerin is providing through the software and the digital ecosystem that we create, solving or we are trying to solve all these kind of issues when they are moving abroad.
Gotcha. So let's dive into some of those issues so we can make sure we can imagine them. So I'm moving to another country and I want to buy a house. Is it a house or would it be like...
It's more, I'm a person who is going to work in Europe, in Paris, for instance, and I'm going there with a lot of issues on my head about new job, new processes, new colleagues, new everything. And aside this, I'm bringing my wife, my kids, and they are stressed because it's a new country, new culture, new everything, right? So they have to find a house at the beginning to live. They have to make all the driver license administration, open a bank account, getting the visa to live in Paris, all that stuff. So basically what we are doing is providing a product to the institution who is hiring them to provide all those services through the software. So when the family comes to the new country, they have most of the things settling up, house, visa, and all this stuff. So at the end, we are making the life easy at the beginning. So meanwhile, they are settling up in the new location, they are able to see a final house or buying a final house, they have the first stage of their stays totally fixed. Let's say that.
I have seen the problems before, and by every country, it's different. So some friends of mine had moved to France some years back, you know, the beautiful life and everything, but there's all kinds of problems. Like they discovered, oh, getting employment isn't the same. Getting your kids enrolled in school, getting yourself enrolled in school. There might be laws about it has to go to people who are citizens or in all of this stuff. And you just don't know before you try to move.
Imagine, Thomas, that even me, that I moved Miami last year, I had the same issues being in this market, knowing all the things that I know, I had the same issues. So, and my family as well. So it's something that, let's say, it's a real solution to a real problem.
Yeah. And so, you know, before we get deep into the solution, are you attempting to solve the problem from a person moving from anywhere to anywhere? Or is it centered on moving to certain countries? Like if someone's just, is it, you could pick just two random countries on planet Earth and you assist with that? Or is it certain?
Now we are in that state that we are expanding. So in order to provide or to make sense in our technology, we need to have operations in that country. So right now we are operating in Italy, France, Spain, UK, Germany, Dubai, and we are opening operations in US. And what we consider operations, our software is scalable. You can use it worldwide, right? But if you don't have housing providers, lawyers, banking, etc. in the locations, doesn't make any sense. So now what we are doing is expanding all these operations worldwide and considering these operations as partnerships with service providers in the locations and including them into the software, into the digital ecosystem. That is what we're doing.
Now, are you achieving this by somehow integrating with the actual institutions, like the actual banks, right? Or is it like a guide where you're stepping people through?
Yeah, basically what we are doing is we generate partnership with this kind of providers. I mean, it's not, let's say, we have to check. We have to check the quality and the relationship before they enter at the digital ecosystem. Because at the end, if somebody has an issue, it's going to come to us first, even if the service provider is the final responsible or have the final liability in the process, right? They are going to pass through us. And to do that or to work in that way, we need to have this collaboration or partnership in a really stronger way. Basically, all the partnerships that we are expanding and creating coming first for a meeting and a trust relationship and contracts and all that stuff to enter into the software.
Speaking of partnerships, because it would be impossible to just create this without you have to have someone on the other side. And how about the knowledge that this would have to require from you guys? Because there's so much cultural and colloquial knowledge from people who live in a country. You just don't know. Before I visited the Netherlands, I didn't know they had a biking culture. People ride bikes everywhere and it's an important part of the society. And I'm like, what is this? And, you know, kind of jumped on a bike myself and went, okay, I'm like the Norwegians now. But it's like so much of it has to deal with the on the ground, the people. So how do you achieve that? Do you have people also in those countries educating you, or do you just hop on Google and do research?
Well, it's 13 years experience on my side. Let me tell you a funny story about how I started. When I started in 2013 in Spain, it was a really depression crisis, financial and real estate, etc. So everyone wants to move abroad. Right. So people come to me and say, hey, I want to move Copenhagen. I didn't know anything about Copenhagen, and Google and ChatGPT and all this stuff is new now. You have a lot of more information than you had in 2013. Right. So what I did is, OK, they paid me up front. I go to Copenhagen, learn about the city, find everything, settle everything. So 2 weeks after, when the relocated comes to the city, they have everything settled. So at the beginning, that was the way about how I learned. Then I realized that it wasn't scalable, right? So I started to work with partners who teach me or taught me about how to do that, right? But on my side, as I said, is experience of 13 years knowing cities and knowing cultures and knowing that kind of stuff, and then working with partners who can provide you that information and get it. Because one thing is what you see in Google or ChatGPT, another thing is the reality about the things, right? But I always had the same impression, which is after you have moved to several countries, couple, three times, four times, it's everything the same story. It's everything the same cycle. And that's it. It's nothing difficult. It's experience. It's automatize the processes, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. Because the details might be different, but the overall process and the problem
is the same. Is the same, exactly.
Yeah. So now let's walk through, what is the user's experience when they start working with your platform? Is it they log on and they tell their story somehow? Like walk me through, you know, so I go to Logerin and I want to start using it. How does that process unfold?
Well, it's a B2B model. So basically we sell the software to institutions who are companies or universities. So from there, they have a dashboard and several functionalities and modules where they can provide this kind of access and visibility to the people who is going abroad. So as soon as they sign up, the people who is moving abroad from these institutions, the relocated receive an invitation to a close-up where they have access to all these accommodation, services, perks, and all this stuff. This app, which is closed for these relocation people, is connected to a third software, which is the one who use our partners to manage the communication and the stay in terms of check-in, check-out, rental payments, digital signature on the contract, incidents management, everything regarding the stay. So basically, we are connecting three softwares that we develop into a digital ecosystem, and everything starts in the institution, move to the lodger that we call, which is the relocated people, and then is connected with Arento, which is the software for housing owners and partners.
Okay, so a person wants to move from country A to country B, and they seek out a professional. That's who's using the software?
It's two models. It's an institution has 20 students who are going to make a program abroad for a semester from January to May. So the university sign up the software, sign up all the students who are going to Madrid, let's say, and they can choose two paths. The first one is, as a university, I'm in charge of everything. So they hire directly everything through the software, managing with the partners, and assign the student to the lawyer, the housing, and everything. The other path that the institution can choose is, all right, I provide the free access to the app to our students abroad, and the students through the app are able to make the reservation on the housing, hire the lawyer, get the bank, and everything. So those are the models that an institution can choose, and the tenants can have, or the lodgers can have, when they are moving abroad.
Okay, just to make sure that I got it. So I'm a foreign student and I need help getting acclimated to the country that I'm in. So either A, the university department has the software and they're helping guide the process and assigning me with the lawyers, the bank, and the rest of it, housing folks, or the university supplies me with an interface where I'm able to conduct these activities.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Like that.
Terrific. Okay, so the example that you gave was universities. Are there other types of institutions that you serve through?
Yes, multinationals, for instance. I mean, multinationals who are sending people for a specific project of 6 months, or multinationals who are relocating people abroad for long term.
Gotcha. Okay, this is really cool. And I mean, I know a lot of there's a lot of listeners to the show who have traveled internationally, have immigrated, and I think they'll find this really fascinating. Do you think that there's growing room, or is it kind of like, would be too difficult to achieve to try to supply this eventually directly to the people who are making those life shifts? So just the everyday person can just like log in and then say, okay, this is the country I'm from, this is the country I'm moving to, and have unfold for them a path that can help them get there.
We are not forbidding this way of doing, but it's not our business model. I think we can propose a better experience and a smooth process if we work directly with the institutions. Because at the end, going in a B2C model as Airbnb or this kind of platforms for us, it's not possible because it's so capital intensive, and we consider the markets and the companies having a financial health. You know, we don't want to be a company who burned 60 million a month in ads to get one customer. We want to provide a good service and, as I said, a real solution to the market, being financial healthy, because it's the only way to keep in the market for in a long term, let's say. And that is why we decide to make it in this way. But as I said, if somebody comes and enters to the app and download the app, they will be able to make or to make the process alone, you know?
Yeah, I see. So you're saying it just makes more sense and is more scalable if you set up the bigger system with an actual institution that has the ability to bring in money, and these things are expensive and a lot of these things, and then let them manage that, let the sort of difficulty of doing be taken on the institution. And then, so then the institution's wins. So the reason why the institution wants to do this, I guess, is that it makes it more appealing. So if I'm a university who has this kind of program, I could say, hey, come to our school because one, we're great and we're prestigious and whatnot. But we also make it really easy if you're international to be able to just come in here and to be able to get situated.
Exactly like that.
Awesome. And so when you kind of created this platform, did you have to, number one, are there any competitors in this space? Because it sounds like a very unique way of approaching this problem.
I realized about this when I started entrepreneurship. You can think that you are the one, you are the first, but always there are somebody in the market. Always. Oh, it doesn't matter what you want to invent. But in our market, it's true that we are still in a blue ocean. It's not saturated, but there are still some competitors, right? We have, for instance, TravelPerk, which is a really big company which focusing more maybe in short term or business trips more than medium term, which is where we are located, right? Between 1 month and 11 months. But yes, there are some softwares and some competitors that we have in the market. Still, as I mentioned, we are in a blue ocean where still right. We have a lot of to grow and do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a red ocean yet.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And you sell to administrators, sort of high-ranking institution sort of people, and on the pitch that essentially this will just help make your experience better with your customers. Is that sort of the selling point for
well,
this?
Well, to be honest, because this is a blue ocean in terms of why so few people there, when we approach the clients, they are still so traditional in their operations. So when we propose what we have done, they said, but this is real. I mean, I can do this and that, and I can forget about Excel sheets and emails and WhatsApps and 1,000 ways of working with our people abroad. And it's like that. At the end, this market is so traditional. The way we approach is reduce operational costs, improve the efficiency, improve the user experience through the software, because they are used to do in a traditional way with several tools that maybe are making the things more difficult than easy, which is the point of our software. So the pitch, let's say, that we always provide, I have a colleague who says, you provide peace of mind. And that peace of mind it's because, as I said, the software that we have created consolidate everything in one tool. So make it easy.
Nice. And what kind of roadmap items do you foresee that people have to get excited about? People who are thinking about bringing this kind of capability within their organizations. You have what you can provide today. Are there any exciting roadmap items you'd like to share, or is just keep doing what you're doing?
For me, let's say that we are coming from a traditional service provider, becoming a digital who digitalize the processes. Now, the next phase, what we want to go is automatize what we digitalize. So we are, I cannot say much, but sure. We are starting to introduce AI and models where the data start to have focus into the process, as well as the automatization in the task that we are providing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Oscar Rubio of Logarin, and you can check that out at logarin.com, LODGERIN, Logarin. Oscar, where can folks find you and keep up with you?
Well, through the website that you mentioned is first step, but I'm so active in LinkedIn, so there they can find me and send me any kind of message. Happy to answer.
Nice. Really exciting and interesting stuff. We look forward to seeing where this continues to grow into this future. Oscar, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Thomas. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.